This morning, if you'll turn with me to let me get to the beginning of my notes, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and I'll set up my message for you today. I love how God speaks to me. He speaks to me in what I consider to be unusual ways, but to him, it's probably just every day. But I'll be observing something. Maybe I'll be looking at a family, or I'll be looking at a circumstance, or I'll be looking at maybe watching a movie, listening to a song, whatever it is, and all of a sudden God will speak to me in the middle of the movie. There may be this scene going on, and I just recently watched that movie, Hacksaw Ridge, and it's about a gentleman who promised the Lord he would not touch a rifle, would not engage in combat, would not kill. And there's a scene in that movie where he says, "Lord, just give me one more." He's a combat medic. And he's like, "Lord, just give me one more." You know, and I can just feel the presence of God in that scene. And I can say, "Lord, give me just one more soul. Just give me one more life. Lord, just give me one more person that will come to know you." And to have that kind of heart to say, you know what? It was not easy on that combat field, what he was doing. And if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to check it out. It's a good movie. It's a little gory. But war is gory. But it's a great story. But God speaks to me in those moments, in those movies, through songs. And I just get these visions. I get these impressions. I get whatever it is that God's trying to show me, revelations through these things. And the way that God speaks is no mystery. He does it in different ways all throughout the Bible. He spoke through Balaam's donkey. He wrote handwriting on the wall. He uses the heavens, angels, messengers, all sorts of ways that he communicates his word to us. And of course, the most common, the most thing that we rely on the most is the Word of God and the revelation that we read. Have you ever read a scripture and it just leapt off the page and you're like, "I never saw that before. I've read that verse 1,000 times, but I never saw that revelation. It just made sense to me in that moment." And that's just the way God is. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiwork, so men are without excuse." I read that and I thought, wow. You know, for people that question whether or not God exists, or if there is a God, or if there is a heaven, if there is a hell, if all of this is real, people that try to make it logical and figure it out and make it, this verse is for them. Because he's basically saying that I am in everything that has been made. I'm astounded by the amount of people that study the heavens. And as they come to study the heavens and the way that the planets orbit and how the galaxies are formed and all of this stuff, you know, they go into it with an atheistic point of view, a world point of view, that there is no God, that all this has basically happened. But as they study it, they discover that it's so intricate, that it's so precise, that it's just so magnanimous that they can't see how this could be just an accident, just a happenstance. And many of them have become believers in Christ because of the study of the things that God has made. People that study the human body and how intricate it's made and how it's designed and how everything works together and how awesome the creation of life is. And as they study that and as they learn that, as they study the creation, they're aware of the Creator. Amen? And so men are without excuse, even non-believers that come to know Christ through His creation. And here we are, believers by faith, but yet we sometimes still question God. And we sometimes don't have faith to believe in His promises and what He's told us that He'll do. But we are without excuse. And so I can see all throughout nature, all throughout life and life circumstances, how God speaks to us. And one of the ways that I feel that He does is through the eagle. And I believe that we can learn something from the life of an eagle, and we can learn what the life of an eagle Christian should be like. And I've shared this with our young people, and I've shared this with youth camps. It's been a revelation in my life, and I wanted to share this with you today. God made the eagle king of the birds. You know, we've got a king of the jungle, it's the lion. We've got oxen, is king of the domesticated animals. It's a huge beast used for for farming, and it's just a massive beast. But eagle is the king of the birds. It's a majestic bird. If you've ever seen an eagle up close, if you've ever observed it, you know how majestic it is, how prominent it is. And we use eagle in a lot of symbols. It's the symbol for our nation. You see it on our dollar bills. Many sports teams use it. It's an aggressive bird. People are afraid of it. I mean, you don't want to mess with an eagle. I could show you a video that I've shown many, many times of an eagle attacking a goat. It's pretty amazing. I'm not going to show it today. But I do want to show one video. It's an eagle flying. If you'd show that, it's under the sermon section. Just how majestic these birds are as they fly and just soar with confidence through the air. It's just amazing. They're beautiful animals. As we look at the creation that God's created, aren't we just amazed sometimes at just how awesome that is? Thank you, Noah. I appreciate that. But we can learn a lot from the life of an eagle. They're like no other bird. I mean, they're literally like no other bird. It's amazing as you study the eagle and you study other birds and you start to look at what they do differently from other birds. It's amazing. I wanted to read a few facts about eagles, if you will, today. I think this is fascinating, and I just wanted to share this with you. So if you'll bear with me just a little bit. The average weight of a mature golden eagle is 51 pounds. They maintain their domain about 5 to 6 square miles in sets of male and female. They mate for life. Eagles, except during child rearing, normally spend 4 to 6 hours per day in flight. We saw one flying just now. Although they have the capability, they don't normally flap their wings, they just soar. Which is interesting whenever we read in the scripture that says we will mount up with wings like eagles. It's effortless. It's effortless. You just soar. You just let the wind catch those wings and carry you. Amen? Isn't God awesome how he uses this in his word to convey the message that he has? But that's just some amazing facts about eagles, and we're going to dive into just a little bit more. But one of the things that we can learn about an eagle and how to be an eagle Christian is our diet. Eagles have a very unique diet. They actually plan their meals every day. They don't go out and hope that they find something. They go out looking for things. If they want fish that day, the eagle will go out and look for fish until it finds fish. And I can relate. Sometimes, you ever had a taste for something? You ever had not just a cheeseburger. Because people will say, hey, you want a cheeseburger? No, I don't want a cheeseburger. I want a McDonald's cheeseburger because that's the only thing that's going to satisfy. Or I want my mama's cooking. You know what I'm saying? When you get a taste for something, it might even be a particular something. Even, you know, it can't be something that's even remotely like it. It's got to be the exact thing. But eagles plan their diet. They look for what they want in that day. They don't just settle for whatever comes their way. They go after what they desire. And they go after what they've been instinctively designed to feed themselves. And it's most likely whatever they need in their diet to complete their life cycle. If their body's low on whatever fish provides, that's what they're going to be hungry for. Amen? And so as we are fishing through God's word, we're going to find the things. We need to look for the things that we need in our life that day and not just settle for whatever comes in. But we need to go after what God wants us to do that day. That's a very important part of the eagle's diet. And in Hebrews 4, chapter 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, even divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." You see, a weak eagle, when it's weak because it hasn't eaten well, is sick, and it's not going to be able to defend itself from the enemy. And they can't reproduce. And they're not going to survive. If they're not well fed, if they're not nourished enough, they're not going to survive. They're not going to be able to carry on, and they're not going to be able to do whatever they were put on this earth to do if they're not fed. I talked a little bit about this last week. And whatever we feed, if we feed the spirit, that's what's going to be strong, and that's how we're going to survive. But if we just feed the flesh, then we're just going to be fat. We're just going to be malnourished. We're not going to be healthy. But an eagle knows what it needs. In fact, one of the great things about eagles is they only feed on living things. They will attack and kill their prey, and they will eat it fresh. They don't look out for dead things. They don't look out. Vultures go after the dead things. Vultures will settle for anything that comes their way. Whatever comes there, that they're flying around, they'll circle it. And they will go for the dead things. But the eagle Christian is looking for the things that bring them life. They're looking for the living things. The things of God, the things in His Word that bring us life. The gift of God is eternal life. Amen? And that's what the eagle Christian goes after. But the vulture dines on leftovers. After circling a meal for hours to make sure that it's even dead, they will likely pick over and eat. Let's see, they'll look over the things and they will pick off the things that are... one of the things that I found was interesting is when the vulture eats its food, it eats it right there at the very spot that it found it. It'll sit there and eat it, making it vulnerable to attack. But the eagle will take their food up to their height, where they have their home, about 10,000 feet in the air. They'll take it back up and eat it. They don't eat it there. They take it back up there with them and they eat it there where it's safe. And they're not making themselves vulnerable. One of the other things about a vulture is it will eat until it is completely fat and gorged, and it will not be able to fly away. And so many times we have fed on things that are just making us fat, that are just slowing us down, that are not producing in our life, and we're feeding ourselves just entertainment from the world. And that's not bad things, necessarily. There are some bad things out there, but I'm not harping on that, but I'm just saying if that's all we feed ourselves, I love to binge watch. It's easy to sit down and start watching a season of shows and watch one right after the other and not stop. There's no commercials. It's wonderful. It's a great invention. But if that's all that we fed ourselves, the ideas and the mentality that the world has, the system that they are wanting to implement, and not the things that God has, the Bible tells us that we need to look on heavenly things, to look on pure things, to be focused on those things, godly things. But if we're only focused on the things that are making us fat, only the things that are slowing us down, making us vulnerable to attack from the enemy. What happens if you watch a bunch of things about adultery over and over and over, and that thought just keeps coming into your mind, and you're not feeding your life with the Word of God? What's going to happen in your mind and your heart when an opportunity comes, and you think, oh, wait a minute, now this is starting to make sense a little bit to me, and we've given thought to something that we would have never ever entertained, but we have begun to feed ourselves things over and over and over again, and now we're fat and we're vulnerable. Amen? And it's just using wisdom. It's just to say, hey, you know what? I need to wash my mind every once in a while. I need to do something to feed my... whenever they say you drink a lot of Coke or you drink a lot of this or that, what do they tell you to do whenever you start to have problems? Drink water. Why? Because it purifies you. It purifies you. And when we begin to introduce the Word of God into our life, what's it going to do? It's going to wash us. It's going to purify us with the Word and the water of the Word. Amen? And that's important to us. We got to have the diet. But the eagle knows this instinctively. And that's what's amazing. God has given us free will. A lot of animals and creatures that He's created have this instinct that they're supposed to do on their own. And I believe that it's there to show us. It's there to teach us the right way to do things. We look at the vulture's life and we see how it is, and we look at the eagle's life and we see how productive and how victorious it is. The eagle seeks out live prey. Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 22 says, "My son, attend to my word. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing and health to their flesh." Amen. That's the Word of God. That's what we need to be feeding ourselves. It is life to us. It is health to us. And that's what we need to feed on. Amen. Number two, building a home like the eagle and finding a mate. I love this part. I love this part of the story of the eagle because they mate for life. And I like that because that's a testimony. That's a testimony to Christians. An eagle Christian mates for life. And I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to be honest, because we try to water or coat down things or make it PC, but That's not to say that if you've been through a separation of any kind, that can't be healed or that can't be forgiven. But I believe that the godly eagle Christian mates for life. And there's a way to do that. And we're going to learn how the eagle does it here in a minute. And we're going to learn, and this is a great message to young people, because I believe when you're starting to look for a mate in life, you need to be watchful for certain things. You need to start looking for things in their life and in their habits and the things that they do, so that you pick someone that you can stay with for life. Amen? 5 years after leaving the nest, it's time to find a partner. 5 years. There's a whole process of an eagle growing up from an eaglet to the point where they are pushed out of the nest and forced to fly. And then they're out on their own for a little while, and they have to learn to be an eagle. And I think that's amazing, because I think a lot of times, and I'm just going to say men because I'm a man, but a lot of times men don't learn how to be men. They don't learn how to be godly men. They don't learn how to do things the way that a man should do things. And I'm saying that from my own experience, because I'm a man, and I know now as a father and a husband things that I need to be responsible for, and things, the kind of man that I need to be. And I praise God that I had a great earthly father, that I learned so many things about that from him. And we have a wonderful heavenly father who's a father to the fatherless, who can teach us how to be a man or a woman of God. But it takes time. You cannot expect the minute that you become an adult that you're going to be an expert adult. You have to learn how to be a human being. And I love it when people teach about dating and they teach about the things that they need to do. One of the things that they say is you need to learn who you are. Before you start trying to form a life with someone else, you need to learn who you are. Learn who you are in Christ. Learn your personality. Learn your likes, your dislikes. Because, you know, over those years from like 15 to 25, you're changing. You're not the same. By the time you reach 25, you're almost a completely different person, because you're growing up. And that could be said whenever you find someone and you start forming your life together, you can really start finding difficulties when you're trying to merge two lives together. So it's very important that you know who you are before you try to learn who somebody else is. Amen? But you have to learn to be an eagle before finding a mate. So our eagle gets interested in another eagle. This is great. I love this. They start to play a game of tag. Okay? Now, when we were interested in our spouse, our young people, when you're interested in someone, you try to get into their orbit, right? You found someone you're interested in. Maybe it was love at first sight. Who knows? Maybe you're just an attraction, whatever. And so I remember I visited so many Bible studies, more than I normally did, whenever I was interested in Melanie. I wanted to be in her orbit. I wanted to get to know her. And so we started the game. Amen? That we play when we start dating someone. We start this talking and getting to know each other and all of this kind of stuff. Well, that happens in the eagle's life too. And so they begin this tag, and it can last for days. They're just flying around, tagging each other back and forth. But then the female gets bored of this after a little bit, and she starts another game. She will dive down and pick up a little stick, and she'll fly to about 8,000 feet. And of course, that male eagle is right behind her. He's following her. Whatever she does, wherever he goes, it's where she's going to go. Amen? And so she drops that stick, and immediately the male eagle will dive down and pick up that stick. Now, if he drops that stick or fails to pick it up before it hits the ground, the female is not interested anymore, and she leaves, and the game's over. But if he manages to pick it up, she gets another stick. She goes a little bit higher and drops it. Then she gets another stick, if he can catch that one. And this goes on for a little while. Each time she's picking up a bigger stick, a heavier stick, and then finally she picks one that weighs almost as much as she does. She drops it. If he catches it, then she says yes. And she says, I like this one. He can catch the stick. And you're going to learn what that means in just a moment. But it's amazing. And then they begin their marriage vows. And what's great is, I just love this, because marriage is so beautiful. Amen. God created marriage, and it's a beautiful thing. But even nature, when eagles get married, they fly up to about 8 or 10,000 feet. They like it really high up there. They lock talons together. And they begin to circle. They begin to fly together as one. Guys, God meant for us to have someone, not to be alone. And I love the fact that they mate for life because they make a choice. They look for the things that matter to them. They make a choice and they stay with it. And they're faithful to one another. That's a testament to the fact that it can happen. It can be done. If eagles can do it, humans can do it. Amen? All right. Now, here's the purpose of the stick. And this is what's so great about that. You see, later on, whenever they begin to have children, first they have to get a nest. And what's great about the eagle is the male eagle helps the wife find a home. They find a home in a cleft of a rock in about 10,000 feet, right up in that area. And they begin to build a nest. And they begin to, and of course, there's nothing around up at that altitude but rock. And so they have to swoop down. And that's another thing about being an eagle Christian. It's harder being a Christian and living that life. It's a harder life. It takes a lot more work to maintain that walk because it is a higher walk. And so they have to dive down and get all the things that they need and bring it back up to where they are. They don't stay down there. The vulture, the male does not help the female at all find a place to live. And when it comes time to bear their young, a lot of times the mother is very unprepared and they just find a hole in a log or a hollowed out tree. And they'll lay their eggs and they're not protected. And one of the things that you need is to be able to be somewhere where you can protect because you can't leave the nest. The mother will stay with the eggs the entire time she's warming them up. She's sitting on them until they hatch. And so the father has to go out there and get all the things, the food, and has to get all the toys for the young whenever they're born. They have something to play with and do. And that's something that the father eagle. But the vulture life is completely different. They don't care about where they live. They just pick any spot. And they live in low altitudes where it's not safe, where there's a lot of predators that can take them out. And it's important to understand that the eagle has chosen the high road. But when it's time for the young ones to leave the nest, this is why it's important that he catch the stick. And this is amazing. Whenever it's time, that mother has already taken out all the cushiony stuff, all the things that made it comfortable at home. That's a whole other lesson in itself because they have to learn to stand on their own. And whenever it's not soft for them to sit down anymore, they have to use their legs. And in our Christian walk and in our Christian faith, sometimes God moves all the soft stuff out and it starts to hurt a little bit and it starts to get a little rough. We can't sit down anymore. We got to use our legs and we got to start walking and then we got to start running. Amen? We got to start growing in our faith. That's another lesson all to itself, but it's cool. But it comes time and that mother pushes that eagle out of the nest. And he starts to flap his wings. Now they're about 10,000 feet in the air. He's got a long way to go. But if he can't manage to flap his wings, if he's not catching air under him, if he's falling and he's about to hit the ground, that father eagle is watching. And when that baby eagle gets to a certain point, that father will swoop down. And just like the stick, he'll pick that eagle up and he'll carry it all the way back to the surface. That mother eagle needed to know she had a father eagle who could take care of their family. That mother eagle needed to know what kind of eagle that was. Was he going to be the one who's going to take care of my family? Is he going to be the one that's going to be able to provide when it counts? Whenever the rubber meets the road, is he going to be there? And that's one of the things, church, that we don't look for in a mate. We start looking and we find, oh, they're cute. They're attractive. And, oh, they got a good job. They make the money. But sometimes the things that count, we don't look for, we don't look at, and we just overlook that because we are so in love. When all that wears off and you see who they are really and you realize that they were not the one you were meant to be with. That's just a little bonus right there. But, you know, another way that we could look at that is Father God, and the Bible often refers to God as an eagle because he's so majestic and he's so glorious. But he is also our Father. And whenever you have moments where you can't fly anymore, whenever you're about to hit the ground, Father Eagle is going to come swoop down. He's going to come in and he's going to pick you up and he's going to carry you back to the top. Amen. And that's so important that we understand the relationship that we have with God and he takes care of us. He is the man that we should aspire to be as men. He's the father that we should aspire to be. But it's so important to understand that. And finally, surviving the storm. The way that eagles go about learning and growing, they spend a lot of time by themselves. And another thing that I want to add to whenever the mother eagle is actually sitting on the eggs, they don't leave for any reason, even if it becomes winter. Eagles do not migrate south for the winter. They stay exactly where they are. And I think that's another testament to an eagle Christian. A lot of times when things get cold, in winter seasons of our life, we hit the road. When we don't feel God moving, when we don't see the hand of God, whenever it's the winter season, when it's the summer and the spring and things are blooming and things are going and God's moving and everything's, we're all right there in the middle of it. But sometimes, I've seen it, Christians, whenever it gets in the winter seasons, they don't hang around. They migrate. But the eagle Christian stays faithful. They stay in their area. They stay in their zone forever. Those 5 to 6 square miles, that's their domain, and they stay there winter, spring, summer, or fall. They're always there. They're faithful. And just like that, the eagle Christian can be planted somewhere and in the winter seasons begin to wait for the harvest. And in the spring season, get ready to plant again. And the summer, watch it grow. Amen? And stay faithful. That's one of the things. But as they get out on their own, they spend a lot of time by themselves. They avoid other birds. Whenever there'll be other flocks of birds, they have to fly away. Because it might distract them from what they're doing in that time. When we're learning with God, when we're growing with God, it's sometimes a lonely time. Sometimes our friends, our colleagues, whatever, even some of our family might be pulling on us, trying to distract us from what we're learning, from where we're growing. But it's a lonely time when you're in that place with God, when you're saying, I want to grow, I want to learn, I want to be the eagle Christian that God's called me to be. But one of the things that they experience as they're learning is when a storm comes, eagles have impeccable vision. They can see from miles away. And because of that, they can see a storm coming from miles away. They know it's coming before it even gets here, before any other animals do. And whereas most animals, when a storm comes, they'll scurry, they'll hide, they'll look for protection. This is awesome, guys. This is just how God's creation is just amazing. When the storm comes, the eagle doesn't hide. The eagle perches itself, and it gets ready for the storm. So here comes the storm, and it knows it's coming. So he perches up, and when the storm comes, he throws his wings out really wide. And that wind is starting to flap those wings. He's getting ready. This is a storm coming. But he's not hiding. He's not running. He's getting ready for it. And whenever that storm comes and the wind comes, he launches off that mountain. And this book that I've been studying says that he circles round and around using the wind currents of that storm to rise above the storm. And what's above the storm? Whenever you get above the storm, have you ever been in a plane whenever you were flying up into a storm and then you got above the clouds and you saw the sun again? The sun is still there. It's been there the whole time. The storm didn't wash away the sun. It didn't make the sky just fall out of existence. It's been there the whole time. But there was something between you and the sun, and it was a storm. But what you can do is you can take the wind of that storm. You can mount with wings like eagles, and you can circle that storm and begin to use the thing that was brought against you to bring you down and launch it to get above it. Amen? And that's what's amazing. The eagle's not afraid of the storm. A lot of times as Christians, we're like, oh, the storms are coming and it's been bringing me down and I'm drowning. But you know what? The eagle Christian says, no, I'm going to mount up with wings like eagles. I'm going to use that circumstance in my life and I'm going to step on it. And I'm going to mount up with wings like eagles and get above the storm. How many know the Bible says that he is king over the flood? And we can get above the storm. And I love the fact that they use the very thing that should have brought them down to get up. And I think that's just awesome. And as Christians, we can do that. We can take the circumstances, the cards that we've been dealt in life, no matter how grim it might be, no matter how dark it might be, we can use those circumstances to rise above them. Amen? And that's awesome. And that's why eagles live in a higher place. It's a harder life sometimes. But they live a victorious life. They live a healthy life. They live a long life. They stay married forever. Amen? And that's what we need to look at and we need to model our lives at. And I just wanted to share that with you today because I just thought that was an amazing revelation. And as I've been studying that, it's just changed the way that I view my Christianity and my walk with God. It's I'm not going to settle for living down here. I'm going to rise above what's been given to me, and I'm going to go higher. Amen? I want to be like the eagle Christian. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Melanie, if you'll just come to the keyboard, we're going to close in prayer. Just a quick report from my dad. He's doing great. He just wanted to, for me to extend his love to you guys, and he just really appreciates the support and prayers that he's been getting. He's doing good. He's walking, and he's, you know, he's still in pain somewhat, but that's to be expected, but he's doing great. He's ready to come back. He's getting a little bit antsy, but he's doing good. He's doing good, and we appreciate that. So we appreciate your faithfulness to continue to be here. It means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to him. We still got a work to do. Amen. We still want to spread the love and the joy of Jesus Christ to anyone that will listen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you, God, right now that we can live a victorious life in you. And we thank you, God, that you've, in your handiwork, you've given us so many examples. Your fingerprint is on everything, Lord. And I thank you, God, that, Lord, we can learn how to find a mate. We can learn how to stay with a mate. God, we learn how to rise above the storm. Lord, we can learn how to grow in you, all from watching the life of an eagle, one of your beautiful creations. So, God, I just pray, Lord, that you just help us through this story, God, through this example today, that when we see winds and we see storms coming, we would not run and hide, and we would not be fearful. Even in the midst of the storm, we can circle it, Lord, and we can rise above it. And I believe that. Lord, I've seen that. Lord, I've seen evidence of that. And I just thank you, God, that, Lord, we can model our life after the eagle. And I thank you, God, that you can help us to live in new heights of our life. That, God, we would not eat and we would not feast on dead things. But, Lord, we would have your living word in our diet, in our lives, God. So help us apply these things to our life today, God. And I pray, the Lord, as Christians, we would live in new heights. We would not settle to live in low places, Father. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.